Father in heaven, we come to you in a time of prayer to pray for a wide variety of different situations and circumstances. We begin by praying for those who we know who are ill, who face surgeries, or who are recovering. Dallas's dad. Kathy. We pray this morning for those who suffer mental or emotional distress today. For those we know who are struggling with addictions. For those we know who are lonely or displaced here in Grand Rapids or around the world. Who we may know who are poor and hungry. For those who are rich and powerful. For those who are unemployed, those who are exploited. For those who live in families or as singles. Those who expect a child or yearn for a child. For those who provide child care and education. those who labor in business and government. For those who work in the sciences, the arts, healthcare, and media. For those who are leaders in Christian churches throughout the world. Father in heaven, as we offer these petitions, as we lift up these names and or situations and places before you, let us remember before God and each other how each of us has a responsibility to act upon the prayers that we have raised. God, hear our prayers and gift us with your Holy Spirit to enable us to be faithful followers of you. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and everyone said, going to turn our attention to God's Word this morning. And before we do, I just kind of want to review a little bit about where we've been and where we're going. Over these first few weeks in this year of 2015, we've been looking at our mission statement here at Monroe, which is connecting our downtown community to our life-changing God. And we've been taking a closer look at different words and or phrases within that mission statement and the biblical basis that's behind it. And for the first 3 weeks, we looked at that word connecting, and who we are is defined by our God. We believe in and we serve and we follow a God who connects with us, a God who comes to us in the person of Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, dwelt among us. He came and he pitched his tent right nearby. He comes and he connects with us. And our Lord and Savior Jesus then sends his disciples out. If we're followers of him, he sends us out to connect with others and to tell them that the kingdom of God is near, that his rule and his reign and his authority are available to all. Jesus calls us to connect with our neighbor, those people that we come into contact each and every day, whether they live right next door or they are in a classroom, or their a chance encounter at Meijer during our week. Last week, Pastor Ryan helped us look at this next phrase, downtown community. And he talked about a theology of the city and this concept of shalom. And today we're going to look again at that phrase, downtown community. And we're going to be looking at Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29, verses 4 through 9. And this text has been an important one in my own heart and life, especially for the ministry here at Monroe, being part of a city. What does it mean to be a church in the city, and who are we called to be as followers of Jesus in the city? Jeremiah 29, these verses that we're going to be looking at in detail today, they've been a blessing and an encouragement to me over these past couple years, so I'm excited to look at them with you this morning. And Father, as we turn our attention to your word to us this morning, just call upon your Spirit to be at work, opening up our ears and our hearts to receive what it is that you have to say to us today. Be at work among us. Be at work in our midst. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So people of God, tell me this before we look at Jeremiah 29. Has anyone here this morning ever moved to a completely different city? Yeah? All right. So you were living in one place and then you moved to a completely different place that you have never lived before? All right, some of you raise your hand. Where did you move? Where did you move from and to? Where did you move from and to? You raise your hand. Where did you move from? Well, those are similar. Over Island, Michigan to Washington, D.C. Okay. Very similar. There you go. Okay. How about you? Where did you move from? Wow. Okay. Chicago to Lamont, Michigan. All right. Yes. Australia to the U.S. All right. A little different, mate, eh? There you go. All right. How about in the back there? Yes. Orlando, Florida to Amman, Jordan. That's a pretty good move, too. Very nice. Okay, Dallas, where'd you move from? Grand Rapids to Wisconsin. Oh, I made that move, too. What part of Wisconsin? Racine area. Ah, we lived just I lived in Kenosha for 10 weeks. During seminary, I was a pastor at Kenosha Christian Reformed Church. They let me be their pastor. I don't know why they did that, but they did. So I lived in Kenosha. I learned to like bratwursts while living in Wisconsin. You go across the border, and that's like that's what they eat. I wish Bob Ames were here, but you become a Packers fan, a cheesehead, and you eat bratwursts as soon as you go across the state line. Okay? One more person. Where'd you move from, anybody? Yes? Detroit to Grand Rapids. All right, that's all right. Very good, very good. Okay. We who have moved from one place to another are at an advantage. Right? We're at an advantage for understanding what Jeremiah is going to say to us through this text today. That's why I ask you, because in our text for today, God's people to whom this letter was written have just made a big move. Right? They made a big move from Jerusalem to Babylon. On account of Judah's rebellion, the Babylonians conquered the kingdom of Judah, and they brought many of God's people back with them to exile in Babylon. They brought them back as captives to now serve the Babylon regime. Right? So this is the setting of our text. Jeremiah 29 contains letters written between these two places. Okay? They were written shortly after the downfall of Judah in 597 B.C., these letters that contain advice and the words of the Lord spoken through the prophet Jeremiah to the exiles in Babylon. Commands, words of advice, words of the Lord about how it is that they should live in this new city, this new place, this new culture while they're in exile in there. And as you can imagine, living in Babylon is a little bit different than Jerusalem. It's a new experience for the people of God. They were used to Jerusalem and worshiping God within the temple there, but now they're living in this heathen city with all kinds of temples to all kinds of different types of pagan gods with completely different customs and practices. It's kind of like Australia in the United States, right, Kate? Well, not so much. Not as bad. Right? But big contrast. Completely different and new environment for it. John Hobart, professor emeritus of preaching at Perkins School of Theology, in his comments on Jeremiah 29, tries to get in the head and the heart of the people who are living in exile there. And as he does, he says, now all of a sudden God's people they're faced with different types of questions and concerns. How long are we going to be here? How long will this exile continue? What are we to do now that we're trapped in this new place, this new city? How are we to live now that we're here and no longer there? How are we to be God's people here? And friends, the content of what Jeremiah says here is revolutionary. It's a new thing for them. One commentator I read noted that Jeremiah presents a new approach for living in the city for the people of God. It's an approach that involves a number of different things that God's people are commanded to do as they find themselves in a new place. Garrett Gavin, a professor of sacred scriptures at the Franciscan School of Theology, he notes for us that rather than telling Israel, God's people, to keep to themselves and to avoid the disgusting Babylonians and all things, Jeremiah, he turns this logic on its head when he speaks to the exiles in Babylon here. He, instead of keeping them themselves, he encourages them to accept this new role, the new role that they have in a foreign land, but also, as they do, to maintain their ethical practices. So what does Jeremiah command God's people to do in this place? Let's take a look. Turn with me to Jeremiah 29, verse 4 and 5. Here we read, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to all those I have carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon." What's the first thing he says? He says, "Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce." Build houses, he says, and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Tell me, what do you hear when you hear those words build and plant? What do these words communicate to you? Say that again. Permanence, okay? Investment. Anybody else? Say that again. Roots. Very good. Okay. All right. That's exactly right. Jeremiah is encouraging the people of God who are living in Babylon to settle down, not to rent, but to build. Right? To plant. Are there any gardeners here this morning? Are you in hibernation? All right, there's a few gardeners in hibernation. All right. We who enjoy working in the soil and growing things, right? When we hear plant, we know that when we put something in the ground, it's going to take time, isn't it? What does it say when someone takes time to plant something in the community? What does it say when you invest, right, by planting something? When I hear these things, I hear the same things that you hear. Right? Jeremiah's desire for God's people is that they establish roots there. They establish a presence in their community. Jeremiah's desire is that they get involved and they invest. I love that word somebody said. Invest in the community in which they live. Building and planting require time. Require investment. They require someone to take ownership. In addition to this, Jeremiah also tells them in verse 6 to marry and to have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease, he says. Jeremiah tells them to establish themselves in the city through personal relationships, through marriage, through family. To develop friendships, to get to know people, right? To build community. Even in Babylon, Jeremiah says, they should continue the creation mandate of being fruitful and multiplying. It's a call to connect with the people there. To connect on a social and a relational level. It's a call to get to know the people who are around you, living nearby. In addition to this, Jeremiah also tells them that the Lord desires that they seek the peace and the prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. word for peace and prosperity here is the Hebrew word shalom. How many were here last Sunday? I listened to the message online. You remember how Pastor Ryan defined shalom? Does anybody remember? Yes, nothing missing, and right on, Jordan. Way to go, right? Nothing missing and nothing broken, right? Shalom is this sense of completeness. It's a sense of soundness. It's where the welfare of all is taken care of. It's peace within the community. Jeremiah says to them, seek this. Seek this for that city. Seek this for the people who conquered you and who enslaved you and who brought you into exile. Now that's a pretty bold claim. This morning in the prayer time before church, we who gathered, we read from the Gospel of Matthew, didn't we? Right? Where Jesus commands us to pray for those who persecute us and who harm us, who make life difficult for us. Jeremiah and the Lord are saying the same thing here. Seek the peace and the prosperity of the city to which I have carried you. If something's missing there, work on adding it. If something is broken, work on fixing and restoring it. How do we do this? How do we restore? How do we seek shalom of our city? One of the ways Jeremiah says, and the Lord says here, is through prayer. He says, pray. Pray for the city. Pray for it. Why? Because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Pray for the city. Last year, someone drew my attention to this whole concept through the local schools. I was at a gathering where they implored us and they called on us to pray for all the local schools. Private schools, public schools, home schools, charter schools. And the reason was, they said, because if the schools prosper, our community is going to prosper. If our schools suffer, our community is going to suffer. If the students and the teachers are prospering, our community is going to prosper. But if our students are not learning, if they're not attending class, if they're roaming the streets, if the teachers aren't engaged, it drew my attention that our whole community is going to suffer as a result of that. Therefore, Jeremiah commands them, pray for the city. Pray for its welfare, not its downfall. He comes at it from a positive, right, a positive perspective. Not pray against, but pray for. Reminded of Paul's words to Timothy here. In 1 Timothy 2, where he says, I urge you then, first of all, that petitions and prayers and intercessions and thanksgiving be made for who? All people. For kings and all those who are in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. That we may all prosper. The Lord says, pray for the welfare of our city. Then he also says this, he says, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived by the prophets or the diviners, the future tellers among you. As they establish them in the city, building homes and gardens and relationships, the Lord reminds them that they also need to discern between the other voices that are speaking to them in the city. They need to be careful of the persons that they seek out. Just because someone's talking doesn't mean that they have to listen. Instead, they should compare it with what the Lord has told them. Apostle John cautions the church about the very same thing. Where he says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. test them. Don't be deceived. Watch out. People of God, as I reflect on these few verses, I want to let you know that they've served as a guide for me in our downtown community, our life as a church here in the city. As I reflect on this text in light of our mission statement, in our context of being a church in the city, I see that there's these two extremes that we're called to avoid. One extreme is to embrace everything that the city has to offer, right? In a city, there's a lot of things that the city has to offer. But Jeremiah and the word of the Lord here cautions us from just embracing everything. Every prophet, every message that's out there cautions us to discern, right? And to be able to turn away from those things and people and places and false prophets and any messages that are out there that would lead us away from our God. It cautions us to be alert and to discern. One extreme is to embrace. The other extreme is to shun, right? And to reject everything that the city has to offer. It's to have isolationism, to live within the safe confines because you're not engaged, you don't have established any roots in any place whatsoever. But in this text, we're not called to shun involvement in the culture and city around us. Rather, we're given a call to connect with it in meaningful and healthy and redemptive ways. We see here in our text a call for us to be involved in our city, to be involved in our culture, to establish and to invest, to be a presence here, to build and to plant and to form and to develop relationships within the fabric of the city and in our neighborhoods and on our streets and in our condo buildings, right, in our schools, in our classrooms, in our cubicles. The daily rhythms of our lives. We're called to seek the peace of our city, to seek its prosperity, to seek its shalom, to seek the well-being of those who live around us. We see here in our text a call for you and for me to pray to the Lord for our city. The Lord says, build, plant, seek, pray. These are strong action words, aren't they? They're strong action words for you and for me as the people of God. But in order for us to do these things well, we need to have a close connection. We need to be closely connected with our city. What we have here is a mandate to live as the people of God as we move into our neighborhoods. People who are called to build and to plant and to seek and to pray. People who acknowledge that our God is a God of this city. That our God is Lord of all creation. That He's the King above all kings. That He's the source of strength in all of our weakness. And that He's the source of light in all of our darkness. Close our time this morning. I want to give us an opportunity to heed God's command to pray. To pray for our city. Typically, I'll pray at the end of the sermon, but somehow, with our text calling for all of us to pray for our city, it seems more proper and fitting that we're all given time to do that this morning. So the worship team, they're going to come forward, and as they do, I invite you to begin to pray for our city. They're going to begin to play softly in the background our song of response, God of the City. And as they do, I invite you to pray for our city, for its well-being, for its prosperity, for its shalom. I invite you to pray as the Holy Spirit leads you. And there's some topics that are going to be up there to guide you if need be, but just find you sit in the presence of God and to heed His call, to pray blessing, to pray shalom, peace and prosperity for Grand Rapids this morning. Let's pray.